Welcome back. And we're being welcomed back today by God, back to Holy Comforter. For we are God's beloved, God's community. What does it mean to be God's beloved? What does it mean to be a community that exists because God acted to bring us together, a beloved community? And if we believe that the church, this church, Holy Comforter, has a particular vocation as a community in our world today, what does that mean for how we live together as individuals who share such a belief? One of the most wonderful aspects of belonging to a church community is that you are not alone. You are not alone with the issues that you face this day and every day. We are here for each other. And in coming together, we are the body of Christ, the hands and heart of God, for each other and for the world, near and far. We are here for each other, manifesting Christ to each other, and God is with us among us. We've designated this Sunday as Welcome Back Sunday. Welcome back to all of us from the summer to our fall schedule in our lives and certainly in the church, church events, church activities. On this Welcome Back Sunday, our readings invite us to consider just what sort of community we're being welcomed to, coming back to, engaging, perhaps in a new way this year. While times have changed greatly since both the Hebrew Scriptures and the Christian Testament were written, God is still God, and people are still people. And therefore, we find much wisdom in the words of Scripture as we receive them today. How will the Spirit help us to hear God's word? How will the Spirit help you to hear God's word to you today? How will the Spirit help us as a community to hear both the challenge and the possibilities being offered? The story of the Exodus is a story of God saving God's people and bringing them to freedom against great odds. In today's reading, we hear a portion of a very well-known story, the parting of the Red Sea. The sea parted, we are told, at least for the Hebrew people, not so much for Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. While not as distressing as the visceral response most of us have to, say, the account of the almost sacrifice of Isaac, still, when a community of any kind speaks of God being on their side, so much as to will the death of others, well, that's hard to hear. Isn't it? If we really listen to what those words mean, it's hard to hear. And it's hard because we know how misused and abused ways of interpreting God's will can be, especially when violence is being justified. Not much has changed. People are still people. Who are we called to be as a community? When just this week, the president of our country went on TV and told us that we're going to war once again. It was a short address, but powerful. As often is the case, after that address during the week, I had some meetings with some of you, some church meetings, and I remember telling a few of you that I wasn't going to talk about this too soon. After hearing those words, I wasn't sure what would I say. But I really don't think time will help me sort this out, because I'm very conflicted about it. Will bombing ISIL save innocent people? I think it will. Will innocent people die? I think they will. What will the long-term outcome be from this? Who's to say? We know in the Christian tradition that what is called a just war theory. And yet, many Christians, people I respect greatly, say there is never justification for war. Yet, even the great Christian Dietrich Bonhoeffer plotted to assassinate Hitler in the end. In the end, he thought that was the only way. And ISIL makes me think about the Nazis and their brutality. What are we as a Christian community to do with all this? Once you get to where we are now, or where the world was with Hitler, it's very hard to fix the situation doing what we do best: praying, helping others, affirming that every person is a child of God. And we like to fix things, I know I do. Certainly doing all those things now, every day, whenever we can, it does make a difference. But how much of a difference can we have on what's about to happen? So what can we do now to prevent war that might be waged, say, 100 years from now? That's what came to me as I was thinking about this. What can we really do? And people are doing these things, and we are too, in various ways that we are Christians in the world. If the world had acted differently toward Germany after World War I, many believe that Hitler would not have been so successful in gaining power, as he played on the German people's fears and anxieties, their sense of deprivation. What can we do now to prevent the likelihood of war 20 years from now, 50 years, 100 years from now? As we're being welcomed back to this church this Sunday, we know that we are back here in the context of our time and place beyond these walls, called to struggle with difficult issues and to pray for wisdom to meet our personal and communal and world challenges. Welcome back to all of us, to a community that does pray for all people, cares for all people, respects all people, and prays for justice and peace for all. The drama of the Israelites' escape from Pharaoh, while being told from their point of view, does contain truth about God, what God is about, who God is for us, and what it means to be God's people. God is about freedom, bringing us to freedom, even though it can take a long time and be a difficult journey. That great escape would be followed by many years in a desert place, so uncomfortable that the people even wished to return to slavery under Pharaoh rather than persevere on the journey to the promised land. We are a community called to freedom in every way. We learn from the story of the Exodus that even dramatic moments of fortune can be followed by times of trial, and that God's people are called to persevere in our seeking of peace and justice in the world, and persevering along with the church, right? Many of you have persevered with the church, capital C, the church universal, for a long time, and many of you have persevered with this church for many years. It's wonderful to be here today when energy is high and things are good. New youth group programs are starting. Many newcomers are here. Things are good. We're in a good place. But there will still be times that it will seem the only water we can find is from a rock. There will be challenges, and that's normal. And together we can persevere, come what may. Together with God, who calls us to be people of freedom, no matter our circumstances, we will learn and grow, continue to learn and grow, discovering things about ourselves and God as we find joy in the journey together. Our readings from the New Testament also give us insight into the sort of community we're called to be. In his letter to the Romans, Paul makes the point that the community of faith contains people of differing opinions. The issues can be about anything. The goal is to live together in peace, and if we can create peace here, that's a really great start, isn't it? Live together in peace even when we disagree. And of course, we discuss and debate, and that's good. But unlike much of the world, we won't demonize or diminish another person in the process of working through our differences. Rather than being people of judgment, we're called to be people of compassion and understanding and forgiveness. And as we practice those ways of relating to others, we may find that we're more compassionate, understanding, and forgiving of ourselves. As we strive to be compassionate, understanding, and forgiving, we will find our efforts supported by the Spirit, by Christ, by God, our divine parent, who offers us immeasurable amounts of compassion and forgiveness. That's really what the parable was about, right? The parable Jesus tells makes the point that knowing God's forgiveness for ourselves enables us to be forgiving of others. The parable uses extreme examples to make clear that the only wise choice is the option of forgiveness. It's the only wise move. The talent, that unit, the talent represented many years of wages for a laborer. Therefore, 10,000 was an impossible amount of money to repay. Charles Campbell calls this the rhetoric of excess and says in his commentary on the passage that Jesus' rhetoric of excess interrupts and subverts Peter's assumption that he can calculate and measure and limit the practice of forgiveness. Campbell makes the point that this parable is about forgiveness within the community of faith, and that it's not a one-time event, but an ongoing activity of the members of the community among each other. Ongoing. What are the other ongoing activities of community to which we are being welcomed? Not that we do these things perfectly, but we are those who seek to follow the way of Jesus, the way of the Prince of Peace. And we know something of God with us, and we are being welcomed by God to be together as those who have compassion for others, ourselves, and ones who practice forgiveness every day. It's not a bad place to be, right? That kind of community, those kinds of people, it's good to be here. We're being welcomed to a community that also engages issues of our day with discernment, intellect, and prayerful consideration, knowing that we won't all agree, but that we can support each other as we struggle through some really difficult world issues. During our ministry fair today, you'll see some of our ongoing activities that support our members and our friends. In the back of the church right now is a sign-up board and advertisement for our ShrineMont retreat. I want to put in a plug for that right now because it's one of the times, if it's possible for you to go, that we can get to know each other better. I think my desire, my wish for this year, all of us together, that we get to know each other even deeper, at deeper levels, and know more people better. So ShrineMont helps us do that, and we're going to have a really good program this year, as we do every year. So check that out, the ministry fair right across the way in the parish hall, the Carrie Montague room. We've got some great displays, and as you go around from display to display, we've got some kind of mechanism for marking a card, and when you turn that in, you'll be eligible for prizes. Hey! Some really cool HOCO prizes. So you definitely want to come, and it's like a progressive meal. Have you ever been to one of those where you go from house to house? Well, in this case, you go from table to table to get a little fellowship time food. So please come and join us. There'll be representatives there to meet you, answer questions, and you're going to be there sharing. So thank you for those who are doing that. You might consider joining, if you're not already involved, in some of these activities to support people in our neighborhood and our neighborhood far away, even as far as Tanzania. Consider how God may be calling you to offer your gifts to others through your imagination, all the skills that you have, all that you have to share. We are continuing to become the church, the community God calls us to be. How do you feel called to be part of God's life among us at this time? We are being welcomed back to a community on a journey into greater and greater freedom in many ways. Welcome back. Amen.